אוקיי, גוד מורנינג אביבדי. פרשת השבוע תזריע. וידבר השם למשה לאמור, דבר בני ישראל לאמור, אישה כי תזריע וילדה זכר. So one of the interesting things here is, אישה כי תזריע. What is תזריע, by the way? How do you say it in English? What's written there in English? How is...
Well,
anybody's got here in English?
Yeah. You see the translation right there.
Conceives, okay. I thought when a woman conceives, it's going to be what? Ve'alda zachar. It's going to be a male. Why? It can be also a girl.
It's a human being.
It can be a lot of things. What is the Torah telling us? It's very interesting. A woman that will conceive will have a baby boy. That's what's written. Ve'alda zachar. ואם נקבה תלד, and if she will have a girl, and we have to understand what's going on here. So Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains a very interesting thing. First of all, I might say, male and female, when we talk, I say it all the time because people sometimes misunderstand what the Torah is telling them. The Torah is not a story. The Torah is something that is very, very deep. And one of the things, when the Torah is using male and female, it doesn't mean men and women as we understand it. It's the power of the male and the power of the female that, by the way, each human being's got it inside. Women have also the power of the male, and male have also the power of the female. That's the way the world is created.
Testosterone and...
Yes. So in other words, everybody's got it. So the thing is that male is the giving one, and the female is the taking one. That's generally speaking, but it's much deeper than this. So here the Torah is telling us, if a woman will conceive, she will have a baby boy. This sounds... Why? What does it mean? Says Or HaChaim HaKadosh that the Torah is trying to tell us that the way we think, or let's say the thoughts, as we talked last week, how important are the thoughts? The thoughts even have an influence on what's like on real life. In other words, if you think good things while you are with when the couple are together, the result will be a good baby, or a male or a female, doesn't matter. The idea is that the thoughts when you are together are going to have an influence on the result. In other words, think good, the result is going to be good. Think bad, the result is going to be bad. They say on the prophet, what's his name? I think, one of the prophets, that he got married to the king, who was it? I don't want to make a mistake with the name. But he got married to the daughter of the prophet, and she was thinking, while they were doing what they're doing, about somebody else, and the result was Menashe, which was an evil guy, eventually did tshuva. In other words, what he's telling us, when you do something, especially when you're going to produce a new baby to the world, you have to do it with holiness. You have to do it with the best intention, because otherwise the results are going to be equivalent to what you thought. And it doesn't mean we cannot fix it later on, because everybody's got a chance to do tshuva and whatever it is. But the idea is, when we want to do something, sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila. It's not only about conceiving babies, it's about everything in life. Especially now, when we are approaching Pesach. We cannot approach Pesach and come to the Seder night without preparation, without thinking before. Because the result, as we said, is going to be the way we think, and what we do about it, that is going to be the result. And you know, sometimes when you don't prepare yourself properly, the result is going to be the same. And it's going to be another night, okay, you will eat a nice meal, and then we go on to the next day, but nothing special happened. But this is a special night. So we have to prepare ourselves. So in other words, the first lesson from our parsha is, if you think good, the result is going to be good. If you think bad, after you did what you did, you cannot take it back. And that's another problem. After it's being done, it's being done. And being done means that what Ror Chaim HaKadosh says that after you thought what you thought, and the woman conceived, that's it. Nothing is going to change the result. What you're going to see in 9 months is going to be the result of the thoughts that you thought while you were doing it. This is one aspect of the picture. The other aspect of the picture is, as we said, in order to have a good result, you have to prepare yourself before. You have to take your mind and try and do good things. Now, what is the whole idea of Pesach of Leila Seder? The Seder night is something that we are talking about every day. On Yitziat Mitzrayim, we talk every day. What is so special about this special night? This special night is in order to remind us that though we live normal life and we see things happening around us, and sometimes we think that things are just happening, but we all know that that is Amalek. Things don't just happen. Things happen because God wants them to happen. God controls everything. In other words, we have to remind it to ourselves because we are so in it that we think that we decide what we want to do. That the leaders or the politicians, especially now when we look at what's going around here, we say, we talk in our parsha on the leprosy. Leprosy comes on Lashon Hara. And we don't have to look, unfortunately now, Lashon Hara is everywhere. You know, one of the unbelievable things in Lashon Hara is, with the leprosy is, when the whole body is covered with leprosy, you are pure. You have a disease, and you, the whole body is with the disease, you are healthy. This is sounds ridiculous. But the idea is that the leprosy comes to teach us to behave better, to change our ways, especially on Lashon Hara. Now, if you all covered with Lashon Hara, so it's not, the leprosy is not going to help. In other words, you have to understand the situation sometimes is the one who's got the leprosy has to go outside the camp and sit by himself, so he would think tshuva, then he can go back to to society. The point is, today, if we have to put all those who talk Lashon Hara outside, they will not sit alone. They will not sit alone. They will sit, unfortunately, with a lot of other people. And instead of stopping Lashon Hara, they will talk more. In other words, the influence of this leprosy, of this thing, is only if it's special, if it's unique, if it's happened only to you, or to you, or only on the part of the body. But the leprosy is only a sign to fix yourself. And in order to fix yourself, you have to see the difference between good and evil. But if you don't see it anymore, then you're at a level that you are pure from this point of view. But you have to take yourself now and understand that you are at such a, let's say, a level that you have to really take yourself and change everything. And this is, unfortunately, sometimes when we look today, if leprosy would have happened today, it would have no effect, because everybody will have it. So if everybody's got it, who makes the difference?
They are healthy, and the other ones.
So the point is that the leprosy is really a sign when society is a good society. And here and there you have people that talk badly, Lashon Hara and other things, or they are arrogant and they are proud. And then leprosy, it's got to, people see, he's got a leprosy, so he knows he has to fix himself. But if everybody is the same, does it have any effect? No. Unfortunately, it is, from one side, it's a bad sign. It's not really that you are pure. It's really the situation is so terrible that there is no reason for the plague. Because the plague is only God. Nega is, in Hebrew, nega lingua is to touch. The nega is God touching us. So he's showing us, you have a problem, fix it. But if the way he's touching us doesn't have any effect, so this goes aside. Then comes another thing, unfortunately. The negaim are not only a sign, but they're really hurting us. And it could be things that happen to you in order to fix yourself. The chokhmah is, when we learn about leprosy, is to understand our situation, that we are all, unfortunately, deep inside this thing which is called Lashon Hara, and try and fix it. And not try and fix it, okay, we're not talking about miracles, we're not talking about, because unfortunately, you sit with people, you talk and everything, and we all know that one of the main things in a conversation is gossip. But this, what the other one did, and did that, blah, 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 and this is Lashon Hara. So at least, we can take on ourselves an hour a day, half an hour, 2 hours, whatever, to show God that we fight it, that we know that we are covered with it, but we still fight with it. We know that it's not really purity, because it's really a sign that there is no effect about it. By the way, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that leprosy was on this leprosy, that's what we're talking about, not the leprosy we know today. It was only for the Jewish nation. The Goyim didn't have it. And why is it only for the Jewish nation? Because it's a sign that something is rotten inside and you have to fix it. Then it goes out. It's like the hair goes out and it becomes white to show you that you have something to fix. But this is because we, our inner side, our neshama, is pure. In other words, we are pure. The real me, the real us is pure. But unfortunately, we have the fake me, which is Yetzer Hara. And he controls us, and he tries to impurify our inner side, our spirituality. So this is why this is really a sign to fix our inside. But for the Goyim, it doesn't mean anything. Because if you don't believe in one God, and if you're not Jewish, if you're not close to God as we are, so you are running after all the normal things that everybody runs all over the world, and you really live in a very materialistic world, and the spiritual world is not exactly interesting you. So this is like a real short view about our parsha, about leprosy, and about, as we said, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare ourselves to the Seder night, especially to Pesach itself. That's why the law says that we have to learn before Pesach 30 days all the laws of Pesach, because there are things that we cannot do on Pesach. We have to prepare them before. For example, making sure that the poor people will also have Pesach, a nice Pesach. Not only we are going to sit on a nice table with nice cutlery and all the best food of the world and new clothes, and in the other side of town somebody sits, has got no money and got nothing, no Seder night, no new clothes, no matzah, no nothing. Impossible. You have to make sure that he's got it also. And this is before you sit on the Seder night. That is, again, something you have to do before. Then also there is matzah and chametz. You have to prepare a matzah before Pesach. Then it's too late. And of course, we have to prepare ourselves also, especially to let the Seder night. As we said, the Seder night is there in order to remind us or to rebuild our belief in God in a way that is apart from us, that it becomes a part of us. There was this rabbi sitting on a table, and he got up and asked all the Hasidim, "Do you believe in God?" What do you think the Hasidim said?
Of course
we believe in God. And the rabbi says, "I don't believe in God." The Hasidim thought maybe the rabbi is a little mishigener. What happened? And they were like, amazed. What do you mean, Rabbi? What do you mean you don't believe in God? He says, "I don't believe in God. I know that there is a God."
And I know
it's another level of believing. This is the level we have to get on Seder night. And how do we do this? We prepare ourselves before. And by the way, I always remember when I got married, the first few years, we had Seder night with my parents-in-law, and there was a family that were also always with us. They did Aliyah together from England. Though they were not friends before, but they become very good friends in the Ulpan here. And we used to do the Seder nights together. The problem was that their kids were very clever, and the Seder night became a competition who is more clever.
Oh, that's terrible.
So they were talking about all those philosophical things and question from the Gemara and this. And at the end of the day, for us, first of all, it was quite boring. Because that's not why I was sitting there, you know, to see who is more clever than the other. And also, we didn't get to the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And this is something we have to understand and realize. This is not Seder night. The Agada tells us about the five sages that were sitting in Bnei Barak, and what did they do? Mesaprim b'Yetziat Mitzrayim. They were telling stories about Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's not written that they were learning and getting involved in very complicated issues. No. They were just telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Because the idea of this night is to tell the story. Because only through the story we will understand and realize that God is there and God took us out of Egypt and there is nobody else. Because the whole idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim is the basic of our belief. Because if you think about it, when the world was created, there was nobody there to see. There was no witness. But for Yetziat Mitzrayim, there were so many witnesses. They saw God doing what He does. And that's why the 10 plagues, as we said, are against the 10 ma'amarot shenivra ha'olam, the 10 says that God says when He created the world. In other words, each one of the plagues is showing us another part of the creation that God did. In other words, through the plagues, we see God. And through the plagues, we understand that God is the one, the only one. He was, He is, and He will. And there is nobody else. And also, He looks after each one of us as an individual. Ashgacha pratit. All those things are the basic of Seder night. In order to make us real believers. But we say it every day. Yetziat Mitzrayim, Yetziat Mitzrayim, Yetziat Mitzrayim. But you see, this guy who came to the doctor, he's got a sore throat. So he gave him those pills. And he told him, you have to take them 3 times a day. In a few days, everything is going to be better. So he comes after a week. And he cannot talk. He says, what happened? He says, I did exactly what you did. What do you mean you did that? I swallowed 3 times a day those pills you gave me. He says, did I tell you to swallow it? You have to suck it. It's like a sweet. You don't swallow it. If you swallow it, there's no effect. And this is what we do. We say, it's Yetziat Mitzrayim. Whoop! It's Yetziat Mitzrayim. Whoop! It's Yetziat Mitzrayim. Whoop! Who remembers? Who knows what it is? So on Seder night, we sit and we suck it. Slowly. Understand what it is, the juice. What is Yetziat Mitzrayim? That's the idea. And definitely, it's not on a night that we're going to show everybody how clever we are. Those sages, Rabbi Akiva, great Rabbi Akiva, telling stories on Seder night. Well, this is what Rabbi Akiva and all the Rabbi Taufon and all those sages should do with all the knowledge they know about the Torah? Yes. Yes, a simple story that proves us and makes our belief at a higher level. And that's the idea, kitazria, isha kitazria. When you want to have good results, when you want to have a good Seder night, you have to make sure that you prepare yourself. You think about it. What am I going to do on Seder night? And we always say that, you know, you may have to make it interesting. So you have to know who is going to be on Seder night. Who are going to be the people involved? Do they speak English? Do they speak Hebrew? Do they speak Portuguese? Are they clever? Are they kids? Are they, let's say, intellectual? Are they just normal people? Who is going to sit with us? Because this is the way we have to make Seder night. Because Seder night has to be suitable for all those who sit around. If you talk Hebrew, nobody understands the Hebrew you're talking about, you did nothing. And if you talk English and nobody understands, you also did nothing. And if you talk about high things that nobody understands, again you did nothing. And I always remember those Seder nights. And years later when I understood how wrong it was, I couldn't believe that we were doing this for quite a few years. And you thought you saw those. We were a youngster. I thought maybe that's the way you should make Seder night. I was not the same as today. Says maybe this is the idea of Seidonite, you know, all so old what they know about the Torah and things. But then I realized that it was so wrong. First of all, from a very simple reason. Half of the things they were talking about, I didn't understand at that time. Didn't understand what they're talking about. And if I didn't understand, believe me, my parents-in-law also didn't understand. So, what was the idea? So the Agada starts with the story that those five sages were sitting in Bnei Barak and telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim the whole night. And this is the idea. To tell the story, not looking for all those complicated things. Talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim and understanding the plagues and the story. And you can tell, and you have to do it in a way that is going to be interesting. And Bezrat Hashem, Bli Neder, next week will bring maybe a few things that make the Seder night more interesting. But one of the main things is the way you tell it. Because, you know, to tell a story says, well, okay, I'm not a very good teller. Huh? I don't think I can get to a level of telling stories in a way that everybody's going to listen and understand. I'm boring. So, you know, if something happens and you tell people what happened, how do you tell it? Is everybody listening? If something happens and you tell them what happened, is everybody listening or not? Yes. Of course. Why? Because it happened to you. So suddenly, you know how to speak. Because you talk about your experience. And when you talk about the experience,
talk about ourselves.
You talk about, exactly. So then it comes out. You don't have to be a great writer or a poet. You just tell them the story what happened to you. And if it's an interesting story, it will be interesting. In other words, if we want to have the Seder night, we have to tell the story like we are going out of Egypt. That's what the Agada is saying.
That's what it says in the Agada.
Exactly. Ke'ilu anachnu yatzanu mitzrayim. It's also a very clever idea. Think about it like you are now going out of Egypt.
Some communities have customs, don't they? Dress up,
As we said, they do a lot of things in order to make it exciting and ask questions.
Yeah, so
there is this story that I always try and to explain. For example, if you have children and you want to tell them the story, you tell it like like a child tells the story. For example, to understand the idea behind the relationship between us and the Egyptian, going out from slavery to be free. How can you explain it to somebody today? Look at what we've got all around. How can you explain to somebody what is a slave? Unfortunately, in our generation, we had the Holocaust, and they were celebrating Pesach and enjoyed it, some of them, and they were in a situation that they could understand what it means, slavery. But today, how are you going to explain to your grandchild, to their children, how are you going to explain to them what is coming out of slavery, if they don't even know what it's all about? But if you tell the story, and what if, for example, I always tell this story that we are in Egyptian and, you know, the Jews have to go to work every morning, and the children see that their father this morning is not going to work. And they know if you don't go to work, it's only a matter of time that this Egyptian is going to come and drag your father out of the house and hit him while he's doing it, and he's going to hit him very hard. And it's not going to end nice. And he doesn't understand. He says, Father, why don't you go to work? He says, it's okay, today we don't have to work. He says, what do you mean, Father? He's going to come. The Egyptian is going to come. It's going. You know what's going to happen? Suddenly they hear, knocks at the door. They know who it is. This is the Egyptian. He's coming in. So they start and they cover up the door with the table and things that he cannot go in. But it's getting worse and worse. It says, open the door.
Sorry.
Open the door. Then they open the door. And this Egyptian is standing there, and he is really, looks terrible, and he says, I want water.
What?
He wants water. He wants to drink water. So the father is going to the kitchen and brings a glass of water. This guy takes the glass of water, is drinking it, and they see, while he is zipping the water turns to blood. He cannot drink the water, it becomes blood in his mouth.
Thank you.
Now, everybody's starting to ask, wow, oh, this is one of the plagues. It went, yes. This way you gave him a description of what happened the day that Moshe Rabbeinu says the whole water of the in Egypt was going to turn to blood. And this Egyptian didn't have any water. So the only way he could drink water is to come to a Jewish guy and ask him to give him water. The problem was that even when he asked from the Jewish guy to drink the water, it was turning to blood in his mouth. So now, everybody understands the idea behind blood plague. You can say, and there was a blood plague, the water turned into blood. Okay, you're very nice, you said it, yes. But who is connected to it? And this way you can do everything. And you can connect to everything of the Seder night in a way. By the way, don't do too much. I always say it. We cannot do too much. We have to do it in the right proportion, because otherwise it goes out of proportion and we did nothing.
Yeah, and it's forever.
So if we do this, prepare ourselves. If we think good, we will have good results. And we can sit on the Seder night. And also when we look around us, don't forget, Pesach is going to be right after the elections. So don't forget what we learned from the election. That the whole country is white with the plague of leprosy, which is Lashon Hara. So we are trying to fix a little of it, okay? And this, and one of those nights is to renew ourselves in a good way, is the Seder night. Shkoyach.
Thank you.